Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when there are hints, maybe some tiny hints, that the Democrats may be attempting at least to try to get their act together. Will they actually benefit if they pass some kind of a gigantic spending plan? Or will that be political doom to Democrats, with every kind of indication all around from all political observers that the Republicans are moving forward toward what could be a very sweeping result, taking both houses of Congress in November of next year. To talk about what is happening exactly with this massive legislation, the spend-a-thon in Washington, and whether that will be good politically for the Democrats if they get through a total of about a $5 trillion plan, or would it be better if they lose and then take that to the electorate? Talking about that and about what next for President Biden, prospects for a second term, is it too early to ask that? People are talking about it. And Jonathan Allen is providing some perspective for all of us. He is a senior national politics reporter for NBC News. He can be reached at NBC News on Twitter. And he's a number one New York Times bestselling author, adjunct professor at Northwestern University, co-author of the book Lucky, How Joe Biden Barely Won the Presidency. Jonathan, thanks very much for joining us. There is so much desperation right now, it seems, increasingly among Democrats as the indications move forward in Virginia and across the country that they may have a very tough time in the midterm elections. Your take on that?
I think there's a lot of anxiety in the Democratic Party. You mentioned Virginia, where Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat, is running for a second non-consecutive term as governor against Republican Glenn Youngkin. The race has been close according to the polls. I know that McAuliffe himself sounds worried when you hear him talking on television. I know people who work for him think that it's going to be a very close race. But beyond that, you've got an incumbent president in President Biden whose approval ratings, have been basically mired in the low to mid-40s, certainly lower than they were when he took office. There's concern among Democrats that the historical background of the term elections is not in their favor. I mean, first of all, you've got the redistricting that's coming up in this cycle, and they'll change the maps, and that should benefit Republicans. But also, the incumbent president's party usually loses seats, certainly in the House and often in the Senate in his first midterm. So all of those things are combining to make Democrats, I would say, bearish on their chances of holding particularly the House of Representatives, but also the Senate.
Well, that gets worse and worse. A friend of mine named John Yarmuth, who's a congressman from Kentucky, who's a pretty moderate Democrat, just called it quits. He's the 10th member of the Democratic caucus in the House to say that he or she is not running for re-election. Doesn't that feed on itself? Is the more that people bail, the more Democrats are likely to bail? That's the way it usually works.
I don't want to make a rats jumping off the ship analogy for obvious reasons, but I do think that one member or several members deciding not to run for re-election can have an influence on other members in similar situations. Now, I don't think there's any reason to think that Yarmuth would have lost his seat. It's a relatively safe Democratic seat, but I do think he's probably frustrated at what he sees in politics these days.
Okay, when you say frustrated, what he sees in politics, isn't it crazy that they can't even agree among themselves about what they want to do? I mean, isn't the first thing where Joe Biden was going to bring us all together? Can he bring his party together? You there, Jonathan?
I am. I'm sorry. I just had a fire engine pass me. I think that obviously it's problematic for the Democrats that they can't come to agreement on how much they want to spend. And beyond that, they can't come to an agreement on what the particulars are, which will take a lot longer, and what goes into that. Political parties have an active debate all the time about where they should be going, but the president has not shown to this point the ability that a lot of other presidents have had to really corral their members of Congress. When I talk to members of Congress, they say we need leadership from the White House, and we're not getting it right now. But the president himself isn't sitting down and saying what his red lines are. So until he does that, I think it's going to be very difficult for Congress to come to, the Democratic members of Congress to come to agreements among themselves.
Do you think, and you know President Biden because you've reported on him for years and you did such an excellent job reporting on him in your book, Lucky. Does he, in his heart of hearts, want a second term? Does he expect that he can get one? Or do you think he's trying to go for broke and do everything he wants to do in whatever time he has left in his first term? His only term, maybe.
It's very hard to answer that question. I mean, the frame that I come from is this is somebody who wanted to be president for effectively his entire life, certainly his entire public life. He not only ran three times, but had thought about and decided not to run several other times. I think he likes the job. I think he'd like to stay in it. On the other hand, I think he's trying to do everything he can to make sure that he has a legacy that is seen as large in historical context. Comparisons that we get from the White House are Franklin Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, and these sort of outside characters from history. And I my view is the best way to set himself up for re-election and also to ensure a legacy is to actually get something done. And right now, it's not clear that that's going to happen.
Okay, and finally, and this is a really out of the ballpark question and out of the mainstream. But I know that there's some thinking that the Democrats might actually be worse off in terms of getting a second term for Biden if they held on to the Congress or either House of Congress, that they might actually benefit from Republicans taking over at least one House of Congress because then there's somebody else to blame for things going wrong, which appears to happen fairly regularly.
I mean, there's definitely something observable in terms of a pendulum effect in politics that when one party does well for a little while, often there's a reaction to it that lets the other party do well. It's certainly not outside the realm of possibility that he would be better off running for re-election or the Democrats would be better off in 2024 if they weren't in full control of Washington. That said, I think they're going to do everything they can to hold power. I've never seen a party throw an election in an effort to win a future election. But you're right to the extent that there's a historical context to that, which is we see that pendulum effect. So it's certainly possible that that'll happen again. All of that said, though, Michael, I think Americans are fed up with both of these political parties, and they change hands, and they give up power, and they give power to one side, then they give power to the other side, and they go back and forth, and they don't always get what they want as a result of that. They're frustrated. I think our elections for the last decade or so, maybe the last 15 years or so, have really reflected, a populist anger at both parties.
I don't think there's any question about it. You can read about that more in context with Jonathan Allen's book, Lucky, one of the best books about the last campaign. He will be writing ones about future campaigns that will be profound. What about the campaign right now to vandalize the Andrew Jackson statue? What was that about yesterday? We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now, 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280, and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
On the Michael Medved show, there's a couple of stories about vandalism that are fairly remarkable because in the midst of all of the craziness that is going on in Congress, there is a great deal more craziness going on in the radical left. There's a group of what are called climate activists, and it's actually a group that I really haven't heard of before. And they came down to the White House yesterday, and they were basically demanding action from President Biden. It's not clear what kind of action. They were chanting, and their slogan was, "Respect us or expect us," which I think is meant to be where we're going to raid the White House. They were right up to the fence. Right facing the White House is an equestrian statue of Andrew Jackson. It was a target of protesters during the George Floyd protests, and was also a target yesterday. And why they are particularly attacking Andrew Jackson for violating the climate, I hate to say it, but in the era of the Whigs and the Jacksonian Democrats, climate change was not much of an issue. In fact, it wasn't an issue at all.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, that, exactly. Now, it may be that the basis for their particular hatred to Andrew Jackson, apparently they expressed that also by climbing up on the statue while they were chanting and singing, and they put on the statue a bunch of red paint, including the word, "Expect us." See, clever, that's respect us or expect us. Is this the way to get respect? And this is one of those things where, honestly, the fact that no one has spoken up about it, that trashing statues, trying to slander American leaders, and, right, I know that Andrew Jackson is not politically incorrect. He was a slave owner. He was a supporter of slavery, but he was a very substantial president, and he basically prevented civil war 30 years before it actually happened by responding very, very forcefully to the nullification crisis. He was a great military leader. And one of the things that is remarkable and may have to do with why they targeted Jackson's statue in particular is the idea that he was an Indian fighter. And basically that the leader of the coalition, by the way, told reporters that the protest was taking place because people are dying right now from the pollutants, the toxins, the climate catastrophes that are happening, and we have to stop the harm. Now, climate catastrophes, including hurricanes and floods and volcano eruptions, and earthquakes, they happen. And they've always happened. And the leader of the group, whose name was Sickening, I'm sorry, that's the name. It's Sikining. Well, what is that if that's not Sickening? Sickening Maupin went on to say that Biden's election was riding on climate change. The entire election hinged on turning out people of color and indigenous people. But when it really comes to what matters, our lives are still being sacrificed for oil and gas. The group website reads, "Joe Biden, you must live up to your promises and take executive action to deliver healthy communities, millions of good-paying jobs, and a better life for people on the front lines of fossil fuel racism, pollution, and the climate crisis." The point about attacking Andrew Jackson, and they say in this group that they are representing indigenous people. Andrew Jackson had an Indian son that he adopted. His name was Lincoya Jackson. And he lived from 1811. He died at age 17 in 1828. He was a Creek Indian child, adopted and raised by President Andrew Jackson and his wife, Rachel Jackson. He was born to Creek parents.
He was orphaned during the Creek War after the Battle of Taloushatchee and brought to Jackson after the surviving women in the village refused to care for him because they were severely injured. Jackson took pity on the orphan and wrote that he felt an unusual sympathy for the child, perhaps because of Jackson's own past as an orphan. Deciding to protect him, Jackson sent him along to be raised by his wife while he continued to lead his army. He was brought to the Jackson home, the Hermitage, in Nashville in 1813, and he was educated along with Andrew Jackson's first adopted son, Andrew Jackson Jr. And Jackson even had aspirations to send him to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, but that proved impossible because Lin Coya, who was apprenticed to a saddle maker, died of tuberculosis in 1828. That was the year that Jackson was first elected president, by the way. Okay, the idea of accusing somebody of racism who adopts an orphaned Indian child and tries to get him into the U.S. Military Academy and to raise him to be a full and honorable American, which was not an opportunity for every Native American at that time. This is a guy you're going to try to dishonor. And again, the idea that they want Biden to do all these things and they're chanting and they're shouting at him. First of all, the chances of those things being done are zero because there isn't some kind of big lever under the president's desk where he can pull that button. And look, the fact that Republicans can take a little bit of pleasure out of the fact that the impossible demands are right now being made to Joe Biden, but the fact is, this is a sickness in America. The idea that there are these maximalist groups on all sides that suggest that if you don't do exactly what we want, if you don't do in exactly the direction we want, we're going to be very noisy and very obstreperous and very destructive and try to trash worthy people from American history. The idea of the statues of Nancy Pelosi, I don't think there are any yet. It's less and less likely there will be. Biden is bleeding out, says columnist Dana Milbank, while Democrats are dithering. We'll get to that charge with Dana Milbank of the Washington Post coming up on the Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
It's an honor to talk to you because I think you got the best talk show in the United States.
Thank you. I agree.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality made travel pillows or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses. Apply hot or cold therapy and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Putting food on the kitchen table got more challenging for folks as new inflation data was released on Wednesday. The price of food at home jumped 1.2% in September, a historically huge gain for a single month, and three times the inflation rate recorded in August. The Biden administration also dealing with supply chain issues. Speaking at the White House, the president says the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach are running 24/7 operations in an effort to reduce the supply ship traffic jams.
This is the first key step toward moving our entire freight, transportation, and logistical supply chain nationwide to a 24/7 system.
Some top shippers and retailers have agreed to do more offloading and stocking of supplies during off-peak hours. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
And on the Michael Medved show, there is a new statistic from a new CBS poll that is featured in a very enlightening column that I think says a great deal about the way Americans feel concerning the mess in Washington and the apparent inability of even Democrats to get together with each other on what they say are their top priorities. Dana Milbank wrote that column. The column has the headline, "As Democrats Dither, Biden Bleeds Out." Dana Milbank is a nationally syndicated op-ed columnist for the Washington Post, and he is heard all over the place, covering the White House and the Congress and more. And Dana, congratulations on the column. I'm sure you know the statistic that I'm talking about, which just knocked me out, is the latest CBS News poll finds that only 10% of Americans know specifics about this $3.5 trillion Build Back package that we're supposed to pay for ultimately. Doesn't that tell us something about this mess we're in? Hello, Dana? Basically, it seems to me, if people don't know anything about what's in that Build Back Better package, then it's an indication that, of course, you're not going to get build public support for things of that nature. Nancy Pelosi said, whatever we do, it will be transformative. Whether Americans know it or not, they overwhelmingly support it.
Now, if they don't know what's in the bill, how can they overwhelmingly support it? And you remember, and again, Dana Milbank basically recalls this, that it was Nancy Pelosi who said famously about Obamacare, we have to pass the bill first before we know what's in it. The great difficulty here, and it seems to me overwhelmingly clear that this is the problem, is that they are trying to do too much too quickly rather than letting success build on itself. The refusal to accept publicly on the part of progressives a much lower cost, much less complex bill. I mean, if you really believe all of this is going to help Americans so profoundly and is so much worthy. Sorry, Dana, you're back.
I've got you, yes, thank you.
Okay, good. I'm sorry about these problems. All this would be fixed by the Build Back Better bill, wouldn't it?
That's right. There would be high-speed broadband internet across all of America, and we would never again have a dropped call, at least between the two of us. So there's something that's in the bill. But you were mentioning this figure from the CBS poll. I think that 10% is actually kind of high to say they really know what's in this bill, and I wouldn't include myself in that 10%. You know why? Because we don't know what's in the bill, and that's the real problem that Democrats are having. The Republicans can go around and say, well, it's socialism, well, the IRS is going to, you know, take over your lives, and there's not really a good answer to it because the Democrats can't say, no, in fact, this bill is going to do X, Y, and Z. Because all they have is this framework, and they don't have the numbers behind it, or they can't say exactly how they're going to pay for it. So I think that is sort of the same position they were in, I think, in 2009 and in 2010, while they were trying to get the healthcare bill together, and the Republicans, you know, were talking about, you know, granny killing and death panels. So it's not exactly a fair fight.
Well, what was different in 2009 and 2010 was there were big Democratic majorities. It wasn't dependent. There was no equivalent to Kristen Sinema, bless her, and Joe Manchin. It didn't exist because they had the 60 votes in the Senate until the Scott Brown election. But
that's right. You had Max Baucus, you know, in the Senate Finance, thinking, well, I think I'm going to strike a deal with Republicans, and it went on month after month. So it was a different dynamic that stalled it then. But yes, you're right. We didn't. It wasn't a situation where you had to sort of try to guess whatever is going on in Kristen Sinema's mind, and nobody seems to have been able to do that just yet.
Wouldn't it be to President Biden's advantage for him and Schumer and Pelosi to get tough on, like, the progressive caucus? I mean, Pramila Jayapal is a congressman in my part of the world, congressperson in my part of the world. And honestly, the idea that she should be dictating the agenda, her personal agenda, the policies that she would favor, do not have anything like majority support. I mean, frankly, even in Seattle, and the idea that they have majority support across the country, shouldn't it be easier for the president to stand up to some of the more strident ideological voices in his own party to get something done?
You know, I would have agreed with that maybe 3 weeks ago, but then Biden came in and you know, went to the House Democratic Caucus and said, look, we're going to have to come down on a number. And you do have Jayapal saying, we'll come down on a number. You know, you hear them, you know, talking about something, you know, 40% of the $3.5 trillion total. You have Bernie Sanders, even in the Senate, saying, you know, at least privately saying, fine, he's on he's on board with that. So it seems to me that the progressives have said, okay, fine, we're going to drastically reduce the demands, and now it's going to be about, do you do it on a shorter time frame and sunset the programs? Do you cut all programs you're going to do across the board? You eliminate some. So that's why I think at this point it really is up to the president to grab Joe Manchin by the lapels and say, we got to pin you down here. We got to get this thing moving, because it's not helping anybody to just draw this thing out any further. So it seems to me that the ball is over in their court now between Manchin and Biden, and just sort of hope that whatever they come up with, Sinema will go along with.
Well, okay, with all of that, if you were advising the president directly, what should his first priority be right now? Should it be just to pass the infrastructure bill, which has that bipartisan support, or should it be basically to set himself up so he doesn't lose control of both houses coming up? Because the chances, of course, of Joe Biden achieving anything legislatively when Republicans are in control of House and Senate, if they get that,
sure,
that's a remote possibility, right?
Right, and I don't think it's really a choice between keep the majority and get the thing passed. He needs to get the infrastructure bill passed at the very least, and he's already committed to saying we're going to pass them both at the same time. You know, in theory, this shouldn't be a hard thing to do. There is no Democrat who's saying A, we shouldn't have the infrastructure bill, or B, they shouldn't have at least some version of the Build Back Better. So it just seems to me, if you're talking about, $2 trillion instead of $3.5 trillion, take the win. At that point, according to everything I'm hearing from the Democrats, they will have their pay-fors for that. So get it done and show some sort of an accomplishment. I've written that really what the ultimate policy is. It's important, but it's not as important as actually getting something done. As Biden said when he addressed Congress, this is a test of democracy. If they can't get this right, it shows that democracy is broken.
That is exactly right. Dana Milbank, we're going to post your column at our website at michaelmedved.com. Thank you for joining us, and sorry for the interruption by our failing infrastructure. We will be right back on the MedVed Show. Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
And 2 days from now, on this Friday, you have a chance to have dinner with a remarkable man. His name is Ben Carson. He was one of the leading pediatric brain surgeons in the whole world. In fact, in all of history, he also was a candidate for president and served for 4 years as President Trump's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And he's going to be in Spokane. And so are a bunch of other people, patriotic people who care very much about this state and the direction of this state, talking about the people supporting the Washington Policy Center and their fight for free market reforms. Go to the WPCdinner.com for tickets and registration. Virtual tickets are available too. This is at the Davenport Grand in Spokane this Friday night. We're talking about October 15th. Be there or be square. you can be square and be there too. That's also permitted. Speaking of square, I don't know when we're going to get square with the damage that was done in the last 18 months, record-breaking damage at Seattle Public Libraries. Now, wouldn't you think that everybody, right, loves libraries? Karl Marx wrote Das Kapital in the library of the British Museum. So even Marxists, even crazies, you gotta love libraries, right? And especially in Seattle, we have a pretty good library system. The downtown library is a beautiful building. It's architecturally distinguished. But this report from MyNorthwest.com, Seattle Public Library's SPL was reporting $434,000 in damage over just the last 18 months, citing an increase in loitering, vandalism, and homeless encampments. SPL laid out the most recent data in a memo to Seattle City Council member Deborah Juarez. That includes reports of $170,000 in damages to the Central Library branch on 4th Avenue in the form of 7 shattered window panels damaged by a pellet gun. Lovely.
Other damage to that branch included one instance where an uninsured motorist ran into the building on its Madison Street side, breaking four large window panes and bending supporting steel beams. That incident cost SPL an estimated $85,000 in repairs. Seattle Public Libraries reports tens of thousands of dollars in damage to other branches as well, including Ballard Fremont, Lake City Northgate, Northeast University, Rainier Beach, Beacon Hill, and South Park. The bulk of the damage done to the Ballard Fremont branch came as a result of a fire from a homeless camp next door, burning and cracking a window on the north side of the building, which also damaged a grating. Repairs ended up costing $60,000. Lake City Northgate also reported a series of smaller incidents where homeless campers in the area broke windows. And by the way, this comes when the misguided enlightened souls at Seattle Public Library try to make these institutions as homeless friendly as they possibly can. Yeah, right, with the idea that homeless people are going to come into the library and enjoy, start reading books and bettering themselves, and that's why all the vandalism and the destruction. There was a statement by the library system. Patrons are complaining at an increased rate that they feel unsafe as they receive services. By the way, if you've ever been to that beautiful downtown library recently, it's literally crawling and creeping with homeless people. Staff have voiced concerns about safety on overnight cleaning, early morning deliveries, or working during curbside services. We are particularly concerned for the safety of SPL employees who work at these locations alone at late night with no security present. This is just another ridiculous illustration of handing everything in the city that is beautiful or admirable or worth preserving or worth defending, and libraries are, to bums and transients and people who may think they're making some kind of political point. Who knows? But it's sickening. Now, speaking of books, somebody who has gotten a great deal of attention in literary criticism, in history of art, certainly in the history of popular culture, is Superman. And the writer of the latest Superman comics who has... I've been corrected on this. I had said previously when we talked about it that Superman is gay in this series. Apparently he's bisexual. And Tom Taylor spoke on CNN about the new bisexual Superman. Listen, clip 9A.
When I was offered the gig to have a new Superman and a new Superman number one for DC Comics, that's a very big thing. And I think the first question I had to ask myself was, what should Superman represent today? A new Superman, if you're going to make a new Superman, what should that look like? And it struck me as it would be a real opportunity lost if we had we had Clark Kent replaced by another straight white savior. So here was an opportunity to create a Superman who could represent a whole new group of people. And I think that was one that we had to leap on.
Uh-huh. And then what is going to be different about Superman? Mr. Taylor explains, clip 9B.
Like the climate crisis, like refugees. John, in the last issue, has just been arrested attending a protest trying to stop the refoulement of asylum seekers. He does 45 minutes of hard time, is how he puts it. But as a stand, it's a very powerful thing. And, yeah, so this is one of the things for him. He is trying to work out who he is as Superman, who he is as John Kent. And so us as the writer and everybody at DC Comics is watching him go through this process of finding himself and seeing that on the page.
Inspiring, right? He said that people said that they burst into tears of joy when they heard about the new Superman because him being a bisexual is more powerful than a locomotive. Not quite as powerful a new movie. It stars a powerful star, Ted Lasso. Jason Sudeikis is the star and really the only reason anyone would go to see South of Heaven. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Jason Sudeikis won Jason's millions of new fans for his popular series Ted Lasso, but now he's back with a grim feature film playing a good-hearted parolee. He gets out of prison to give his cancer-stricken girlfriend, Evangeline Lilly, a good time during her last year on Earth. The result, called South of Heaven, now available in theaters and on various streaming platforms, ought to come with a warning.
You have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
You pushed a desperate man a little too far here.
This ends now.
And actually, this morbid mess couldn't end soon enough. The characters are cartoons, the plot is preposterous, and the lurid violence is often gut-churning. After worldwide popularity with lovable Ted Lasso, Sudeikis may be trying to stretch his acting muscles by playing a truly loathsome loser, but the result is South of Adequate. One star for the nearly unwatchable South of Heaven.
This review brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
And on the Michael Medved show next time, there is a individual in Texas who has just been brought up on charges for sending a threatening message to a Maryland doctor because the doctor publicly advocated for the COVID-19 vaccine. So does that mean that everyone is subject to threats at this point? There's also a new family research organization. Don't be misled. It's not conservative at all. It says that married households are by definition racist. And I think they believe that married households should be, as far as possible, abolished. And there is a new piece in the New York Times, just in time for Halloween, that says that there is a curse in Washington. A curse on what? On Congress. And the party in control can't seem to shake it. Plus, there is much more about Columbus and what we do about him. And one governor who's actually standing up for him pretty aggressively. We will get to that and to much, much more next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.